My name is Stella Drew Sheldon.
And my name is Graham Wheeler Nelson. And this is Anything But Spielberg.
Joe Rogan's net worth is $100 million.
How much was that Spotify deal?
No clue.
I think it was $100
million. Yeah.
At least. I think that's the entire reason he moved to Texas, was for the taxes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then my sweet mate last year, rich as fuck. He was telling me that, and he was like, yeah, it's such a smart move, bro. Like, and he was like, yeah, my dad, he is paying so much in taxes in California that he might buy me an apartment in his name in Boston and say that's his primary address in order to save on income tax. And he said that the rent would be much less than what he would save.
I fucking eat the rich.
That's what I wanted to say to him. I wanted to say, hey, fuck you. I'm gonna bleep that though.
My parents are just like currently jobless and just like looking for a place that's affordable to live.
Yeah, mine too. Like mine.
Most
are like,
people right now.
Yeah, mine are like, are we gonna be able to pay our mortgage?
Yeah, are we gonna be able to keep sending you to college?
Yeah, like, oh, we're paying how much to send you to college?
No, seriously, like, I feel like that's where most people are at, and then, like, the bourgeois out here just, like, fucking, like, yeah. Oh, I have to sell one of my estates.
I think Anton, one of his grandparents, like, in Taiwan, owned, like, a coal factory that, like, owned the town. Like, it was a town, like a factory town, a company town. And so he owned everything in the town, too. And so he was just, like, one of the richest people in Taiwan. And that's...
Wow.
Fuck him. I don't like
him. That was a
burp. Just almost as much as I don't like Joe Rogan.
Yeah, Joe Rogan, get the fuck out of here.
Fuck you, Joe Rogan. And fuck your new lights. Fuck those red lights.
I feel like you can't be a billionaire... Actually, that makes a lot of sense. I was gonna say you can't be a billionaire and a libertarian, but you absolutely can, because that's...
Yeah. He's just like, I don't want to pay taxes.
Yeah. I want to stay rich. Aww.
Whoa. And people are like, no, he plays both sides. Like, he had Bernie on the podcast. It's like, fuck you. Like, what? Anyone who is friends with Jordan Peterson...
Can die.
Ben Shapiro, a part of the intellectual dark web?
Dude, Ben Shapiro is, like, not even... Like, I don't even get mad at him anymore because he's so funny.
He talks too fast. He's on two times speed.
Actually?
You don't understand because I'm Jewish. And I have a really small penis. And I talk really fast to cover that up. I'm a Republican.
But I don't... What if you don't understand?
I'm a classical liberal. You are totally missing the point here.
He's, oh god, I hate him and his sister.
Who's his sister?
You haven't been inundated with all of the classically Abby abs ads.
Abby Shapiro?
Yeah, all over YouTube. Abigail Shapiro.
I don't think so. Let me look at Google Images.
She has a huge YouTube channel now of her being like, this is how to live life as a conservative woman.
She looks freaky. She makes it too much eye contact. Yeah,
I started getting her ads, like, and she doesn't use Ben Shapiro's name at all. So I didn't know it was his sister, Whoa. And then somebody said it, and I'm like, oh my god, that's Ben Shapiro in a wig.
Whoa. Wait. Oh, but it's not really.
That would be awesome.
He'd do a really good job. He makes a really good trans woman in that case. I mean, good for her.
Did Ben Shapiro say trans rights by having a sister?
By being his trans sister? What if he's pulling a Tootsie on us? And a Miss Doubtfire at the same time.
He could be. Tootsie's got kind of fucked up.
I've never actually seen Tootsie, I don't think.
He's just like dressed as a woman to trick some girl into fucking him.
That's really fucked up. Like, how would that work?
I don't remember, but I remember that's the plot.
Okay. That's like an 80s movie.
Yeah.
Isn't it like seminal? Isn't it like people freak out about it?
I liked it when I was younger, but yeah.
I like Miss Doubtfire.
I don't think I've seen Miss Doubtfire.
It's good.
Oh,
it's
maybe really I good. Have. Yeah, Robin Williams.
It's a good Robin Williams vehicle, like we say.
So speaking of wholesome fun, wholesome family-friendly fun, today we're talking about Gaspar Noé. Or Noah? Noah?
Gaspar No.
Gaspar No.
Uh-uh!
How do you say his last name?
No.
But there's an accent aigu over the E.
First of all, never say accent aigu. And also, on our notes, it just says N-O-E, and I take that to mean no. Because, like, I'm not in the Bible. Like, if it was in the Bible, I'd say, no way.
I think it's like, it's not no way. It's not no. It's like an in-between that I don't know how to say. But my little white stupid brain is like, it's one or the other.
That's like people will think you're unsure of yourself. Like, mm-hmm. You're asking a question, like, Gaspar Noé?
Finding a middle ground between yes and no. Gaspar no yes?
Gaspar no.
So, our boy, I legitimately could not find out much about him. He's a private dude.
He's an enigma.
He's Argentinian, but his family moved to New York City to, like, escape the, I think there's a civil war.
Maybe the Holocaust.
Yeah. So, he lived in New York City for a couple of years, but he lived in Paris most of his life. He was very inspired by Jean-Luc Godard.
Ooh.
He loves the French New Wave.
He would. It shows. You can tell. He's one of those guys.
Yeah.
He's one of those film guys.
He is an atheist, and he's married to filmmaker Lucille.
Hadlatrosik.
Is that...
Halak Cholovic.
Hadzialilovic. Hadzialilovic. I'm gonna look her up.
But the fact that he's an atheist does not surprise me. Watching his movies...
There's no God in there.
I told Stella earlier there was a God-shaped hole in his heart. He fills that God-shaped hole. Stella said he fills that God-shaped hole with sex and drugs. And
yes.
And gels on lights.
Wait, okay, hold on. I'm looking up his wife, and she's directed a bunch of movies I've never seen.
Is she,
Is she
Parisian?
She co-wrote Enter the Void.
Oof. Oof. Oof.
What a fun movie to write with your husband.
I'm surprised they didn't get a divorce after that one. I would.
Yeah, so what are your impressions of his style and his work in general?
It's like a cheese grater to the eyes. But like, I think Climax is like my favorite example of his work. Like, I get why people like his other stuff.
Yes.
And like, I see the threads and like the same like directorial habits in his other stuff. And I think he just does it really well in Climax. But it's hard for me to watch his other stuff. Like, it's really abrasive. And just like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, I really don't like Love and Enter the Void nearly as much as I like Climax. And I don't even... Like, Climax is a good movie. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, it's fucked up. Like, it's intense.
But I'm never like, man, I really want to watch Climax.
And I'm not
going to
tell anybody, like, oh, man, I'm going to buy a Climax poster.
Yeah, I just... Like, it's technically good.
Yeah.
But I don't want to watch it.
That's a great description.
Because it's like, I mean, I think I read somewhere, like, he aims to be disruptive with everything he makes and grab your attention, which is, like, cool. Cool that you are trying to do that, but it makes me really upset. And it makes your movies unbearable.
Unbearable.
And I kind of think that a good movie is one that I enjoy watching.
That's a great description. I have to want to watch your movies.
Like, yeah, because even like upsetting, disturbing movies, I still like want to watch it.
Yeah.
But like, I had to watch two of his movies this week for this podcast. Oof. And it was a lot, and by the end I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Did you watch Enter the Void and Love?
And Love, both this week. It was...
So you need some therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we just do like, impressions of his work?
Yeah, I think
in general.
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah. So should we do Enter the Void first? So the first time I watched Enter the Void was in Evariste's room in Paris.
That sounds about right.
So Enter the Void, it was so fucked up. I did not like the experience of watching it one bit. Like, visually it was, like, technically, like, wow. like, I see what you're going for here. This is a great use of the medium. Yeah. Like, this is, like, really pushing the medium to its limits in some ways. And, like, holy shit. Like,
and it's a really interesting exploration of its subject matter, but at the same time, fucking, like, I don't know. I get a lot of psychedelic TikToks, which is weird because they don't do them. But I get a bunch and everyone's like, oh my god, did you know that if you do DMT, it shows you what it's like when you die? And like, fucking, I just hear that so much. And like, everybody says it all the time. And it's like, he learned that and he's like, I need to make a movie about this right now.
It's very much that move, that feeling, that culture where it's just like so classically, just like uncomfortably, like it's such a part of his identity is just to be that like weird, like, hey man,
yeah, hey man, have you like, ever thought about
what if your parents died, man? Think about that, man.
Also, he Gaspar Noé wants to fuck his sister, right?
I think everything in the movie Love is just him.
Well, yes, but, we'll talk about that so later. There's incest in... There's brother-sister incest in Enter the Void.
Yeah.
Brother-sister incest in Climax.
Oh, yeah. Then that's a confirmation. A-plus confirmation. A court of juries would say unanimously.
Yeah, that he wants to fuck his sister.
That's
Does he have a sister?
That's proof. I hope so. Got it.
I kind of hope he doesn't.
He's got it. He can't have all that issues without having a sister.
Yeah, but that's... It's fucked up, and like that movie gave me so much anxiety. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, all of his movies did. Climax was.
He does have a younger sister. That's upsetting.
Oh my god, that makes me really uncomfortable.
But yeah, so I just think it's like it was also. I don't know if you felt this way. I thought it was really predictable.
Like not cliche, but.
Well, I think it was like at the midpoint, the sister found out that she was pregnant. Oh, spoilers, by the way.
Fuck you if you haven't seen this.
At the midpoint, she finds out she's pregnant, and as soon as that happens, I'm like, oh, he's gonna, like, go inside her and then, like, fucking, like, be birthed by her. Like, that's what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
So it was just like, okay.
It's like Benjamin Button.
Yeah.
It's like, I get where it's going.
But, like, just based on everything, like, that was gonna be the obvious conclusion. So, like, I wasn't engaged for the rest of the movie because I knew that's what everything was leading up to.
The whole appeal of those movies is the shock value.
And yes, absolutely.
So if you know what's going to happen, it's not shocking.
Because the one specific shot, you know what shot I'm talking about that's also in Love.
The vagina shot?
Yeah. not just a vagina shot, because that's implied that it's a shot of a vagina, which one? It's not. It's the one from inside.
Oh, that shot.
The internal, uterus shot of, like, okay, this is going to be an explicit episode of anything with Spielberg. So, a signature shot of this director is, like, from the inside while, like, during sex. So, like, you can just imagine, like, how that might look. And it's in relatively all of his movies. And, like don't. Like, stop it. I didn't like it. I don't like it. Stop it.
It's a bad auteur device. To reoccur throughout all of your work.
It upset me.
You cannot put that on your reel, man.
And yeah, so that shot was in there and I didn't like that. But like, I hate first person POV in movies. Jesus Christ, I hate it.
And especially in like a big budget movie, like it's so bad.
It just looks terrible.
It looks so bad. Like Doom, that Doom movie.
Oh, I never watched that.
I never did either, but I saw that clip on like Watch Mojo. And it's so bad. I feel like you can't do that well, even artistically.
No, you can't. Just stop trying.
Yeah.
And
when he blinks.
Yeah, no. Fuck
like,
that.
What? What?
And that movie's also, like, after he dies, it's, like, all aerial shots from, like, above.
Yeah.
Like, from directly above. And,
it's not a great camera angle. It's so overused.
It's cool. It's really cool when it happens. And I'm like, oh, that was cool. And then it keeps happening. Yeah. And then you're just like, I need it to stop. I would like it to stop now, please.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Wes Anderson. He uses his shit way too much.
I mean, and yes, I understand that, like, Gaspar is trying to make me uncomfortable and he is succeeding.
Yeah, good for him.
But like also, it's like not like I don't feel like especially in Enter the Void, it doesn't feel like I'm necessarily trying to like gain anything from it.
No, definitely. It's just like, the experience of, like, going on, like, r/watch people die.
Yeah.
It's, like, that experience.
It's, like, with Ari Aster, I feel like, he is trying to make me uncomfortable, but I feel like he's trying to, like, tell me something.
Yeah.
But I don't I think Gaspar... You okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think Gaspar Noé thinks he's trying to tell me something, but he isn't doing it.
No, it's like those people who are trying to be deep just by being like, oh, man, let's go crush a skull. Like, let's go kill some animals, man. Like, let's get some gore in your head.
It's like, you don't know what you're talking about.
It's like, fuck you. It's like when you're trying to be edgy. Like, oh, man. Like, and it's like you really... like, almost have to open yourself up into those movies, like, emotionally. Mm-hmm. Like, because the subject matter is just always so just, like, visceral. And,
yeah.
Like, you just can't help yourself. And he just manipulates you as a filmmaker. And I mean, I guess good for him to use the medium of film to communicate such a visceral, like, fuck you, like, awful message. But, I don't know. They look cool.
I mean, yeah, it looks cool. The thing with the miniatures is cool.
Yeah, yeah. It was neat, okay? Like, I get what you're going for. Like, you shocked me already. I got it. Like,
yeah.
Okay, I get it. But it is cool. It is an experience to go through. It's an experience of watching.
But there's also, like... this isn't all of his movies. There's nothing redeemable about any of the characters.
No, definitely. And I feel like in a lot of like parts, it's a surrogate for him, where it's like,
oh,
it's
yeah,
just like,
absolutely.
Oh, this is me. And it's like, in Love, he even says, like, I'm a filmmaker.
Dude, Love
and
is...
We'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it later.
I'd say we transition to Love now, because
okay,
I have a lot
yeah.
to say about Love.
So, Love, I really, like, it was technically, like, oh, okay, I got what you were going for. Like, it looks... It's lit really well.
Like it.
It's lit well, but fucking everything else about that movie, I really did not like at all.
I sent Graham this while I was watching it, and I was, like, looking through the Wikipedia page. It was a 7-page script. The rest is just fucking...
That made me like the movie infinitely less. Like, once I learned that piece of information, it all clicked, and I was like, oh, that's so what side the movie is.
All the sex scenes are unsimulated, too, which is, like, kind of, like why?
It's just way too much. It's way too much.
And
like,
it's, like...
I get it.
The opening scene is just, like, a lengthy sex scene.
Yeah.
And, like, throughout it is just, like, a number of very graphic... unedited, unsimulated, just, like, raw sex scenes, and it's, like, cool. But why?
It's basically just art house porn.
Yeah.
Where, like, instead of, like, the lead-up and, like, the transition between scenes in a porn being, like, oh, can you fix my stove? Like, oh, I'm stuck inside the stove now. It's like, instead of stupid shit like
dude,
that, it's like,
you...
oh, what's the meaning of life, man? And he's like, love. And he's like, okay, we're fucking now.
If you Google Love, like the movie, it comes up as drama / pornographic under the name.
Good. Warn people.
Yeah, it is jarring. And it's just, it's so gross.
It
made me want to shower.
I texted Stella I needed to wash my brain after watching the movie. It was a lot to go through.
And also, relatively nothing happens in that movie.
No, really, it's just like, oh, this guy, he's in a dead end in his life. Like,
yeah.
He fucked up, and he fucked up all over the place.
But he didn't even fuck up that much. That's what's
no.
so frustrating about it.
It's not his fault of fucking up, but everything.
But he's also, like, living
just...
a good life, and he doesn't want to be living it, because he wants this, like, girl who's super destructive.
Yeah.
And, like, but not necessarily that she was destructive, but he was destructive with her. And, like, you know they're not good for each other, but, like, he has, like, a kid, and he's, like, happy and stuff, but he doesn't want it.
Yeah.
Because he wants sex with this other girl.
Yeah. And that's basically the whole plot.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, Murphy, I think is the name of the main character, 100% just a stand-in for Gaspar Noé.
Oh, no question. He says it in the movie. He's, like, there's a line where he's, like... yeah, I'm a filmmaker from America.
Yeah.
All I want to do in life is make a movie about sex, but not in a porn way, in a sensual way.
Yeah, that literally happens. And he's like, yeah, all he talks about is like, I'm a filmmaker and I just want to portray like the truths of like sex and like...
intimacy.
And like raw intimacy and emotions.
Yeah.
And like we get it, it's you.
And do ayahuasca, man. Let's do ayahuasca.
Yeah, fucked up, and like, I don't know, the acting was pretty good.
Yeah, no, it was like an artsy, like, man, it's like, it's shot and lit well, but like, oh god. Like, the writing was really awful. The writing was
just the writing was
awful,
bad.
Really terrible.
There was a point in the movie where he's like, you've never seen 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yeah, he's like, oh, now I have to show you. Yeah. And then it's like, now they're fucking. Yeah. That's like, the entire movie is like him being like, oh, I'm a filmmaker. I'm a deep philosophical man. Do you want to fuck?
So, listeners, our dear listeners, if you haven't seen like a picture of Gaspar Noé before, you should look up a picture of him. And then just, like, imagine you're having sex with somebody and he's, like, right above you being like, oh, no, do it this way. Like, in a room full of people.
Making very uncomfortable eye contact with you. And also him being like, oh, no, you're not doing it right. You're not doing it right. Like, oh, no, do it this way.
You're like, just literally having sex.
And that's, like, the entire movie that you signed up to act for.
Yeah. It's crazy. I just don't understand how that movie got like a fucking $3 million budget.
Literally, how do you pitch that to like an executive at like a studio, like an old
rich
white
man? You know how we all like porn, right? What if you can watch it and be like, oh, this is art.
I'm getting off the elevator, ma'am. my floor is 17 floors up, and I'm getting off at this floor. I need to leave. Like, you're making me uncomfortable, sir. You need to leave the building. Like, I've got a 7-page script, but it's going to be 90 minutes. And they're like, what's the other, like, 83 minutes? And he's like,
fuck it.
It's going to be pornography, sir.
It's going to be a lot of sex.
And he got money. And he got it made.
He got $3 million.
It was so bad. I really did not like Love.
I don't know. I think I liked it more than Enter the Void because it's like a little more, like, it seems like it's more focused.
Love is just the concept alone. Just like, love, if you say love, it's like, but Enter the Void is so soul crushing.
I think actually, like, Love has more of an idea of what it wants to be and what it wants to say.
Definitely.
More so than Enter the Void.
Definitely. It's a lot more focused.
Because, like, Enter the Void is, like, just kind of like, oh, when you die, it's sad. Like, life sucks.
It's like, nihilism. Here's my trauma.
Yeah.
I'm damaged.
But Love is, like, diving into more of, like, the dynamics inside relationships and, like,
yeah. The
complexities.
And, like, life and, like, being happy and what's the good life, I guess. And, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a little more focused.
The set design is pretty good.
Yeah. No, don't get me wrong. Paris is beautiful. Like, it's...
Yeah.
The lighting.
He's an amazing cinematographer.
Yeah.
He
does not DP his own film.
Oh, he doesn't.
Whoever he gets is super good. Like, he knows how to work lights and, like... Like, get moody shit. Like, it looks good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. And it's hard to tell if this movie's any good or not because all of it's just, like, sex scenes. Like, just
it's
these
beautifully shot, beautifully shot sex scenes.
Yes.
Like, that's the pull of the movie.
If I made porn, I'd want Gaspar Noé to direct it.
I would want the DP. I would not want Gaspar
Noé
anywhere near my porn.
He would make it weird and sad.
He'd be like, all right, then we're going to cut to your mom's head being chopped off. And you're like, no, this is a porn.
No, just porn, I said.
He's like, no, we need some violence. We need some trauma.
Did you see my tweet? I was really proud of this tweet this week. Did you see it?
No, what was it?
You know the scene in Always Sunny when they're like talking about making a movie and Dennis is like, it's just like, no, this is all a movie needs. Just crime, penetration, crime, penetration, crime, penetration. And tweeted that at us, Gaspar Noé making any movie.
That's such a good tweet. Holy shit, how many likes did you get?
I think I got like 10 likes.
Yes!
But like, just crime, penetration, crime.
Honestly,
penetration.
That's his movies.
Yeah.
That's a good description. If anyone wants to ask, like, that's it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's so vile. Love was just disgusting.
It really made me want to like get an exorcism or like go to some spiritual
just
purification.
Just get like STD testing.
Yeah. Go to like just take a shower, really. Just like get the gunk off of me.
Yeah. Another thing, both in this and well, actually all of these movies, for somebody who's obviously super into psychedelics, why does he fixate so much on terrible trips?
Like, I don't know.
Literally all of this makes me really not want to do psychedelics.
Yeah, when I watched Climax, I was like, I was not high, but it made me not want to get high ever again.
Literally, yeah.
And, yeah, same with Enter the Void, Love. Like, they're so...
But he obviously does a bunch of psychedelics.
They capture the mood of a bad trip and just, like, the paranoia and, like, just, like, the ugliness. And but don't... Oh my god. Don't.
Let's move on to Climax then. Climax I actually liked.
I did like Climax. And when I watched Climax, it came out like a week after that shitty movie Destroyer.
Oh yeah. Did we watch Climax together?
We did.
Oh.
Because I did not know what Climax was gonna be.
Oh yeah.
And you were like, hey, you wanna watch Climax? And I was like, ah, sure. I've heard it's good. And I didn't know it was Gaspar Noé. I didn't know what was going on. Good thing I didn't get high beforehand.
Yeah,
that would have been a bad, bad experience.
That was back when we were doing weekly movies.
Yeah, because we had AMC A-List.
Oh, God.
The good old days. The good old days.
Back pre-pandemic.
When you could go out in public.
I miss just, like, the vibe of going to movie theaters so much.
I miss the vibe of the public.
Yeah, honestly.
The closest I've gotten to the public has been watching The Public versus O.J. Simpson.
Dude, I was on the T today and it was pretty crowded. I was like, I don't want to be here.
I like Boylston because it's like, there's some action. There's always some action. Like, there's always, like, something happening.
You know the meme, like, the Simpsons meme where it's, like, Ralph from the Simpsons and he's like, I'm in danger. That's how I felt.
In the intersection, you're like, oh.
Oh, my God, I didn't even tell you the worst thing today. So I was coming back from a shoot. My arms were full of shit. I was carrying so much. And it was pouring rain. And I was on the B-line, and so, like, you know, when you're on the B-line, it makes that right after Kenmore.
Yeah.
And I was on the train, and it made a left, and everybody just kind of looked around, and the conductor's like, oh, this train's actually going to Riverside now. We just made a wrong turn. We all had to get off at fucking Fenway, go back to Kenmore, and then get on the B-line at Kenmore and ride it here.
What a fucking dumbass. I feel like that happens so often, though, where there's like...
The MBTA is a terrorist organization.
They were the first because they're the shittiest. They're really bad. Like, I feel like the Green Line, especially, like, after 8 p.m., it's like 30 minutes between, like, B-line trains. Like,
yeah.
Or, like, maybe even 45. Like, it might not even ever come. Who knows? Because it's, like, so often I go down there and it's, like, Heath Street. And I'm, like, okay. And then it's, like, Boston, or, what's the other one?
Riverside.
Another Boston College. And then Kenmore. It's just going to Kenmore.
Yeah, what?
And I'm, like, what are you doing after you go to Kenmore? And they're, like, you gotta take a bus.
And then, like, sometimes one will show up and it'll be blank. It won't have a destination on it. It's like, where? Maybe I should get on it.
Sometimes they don't match.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, which one should I believe? It's like, I'm going to go with the one on the train.
Yeah, I usually go with the one.
He knows where he's going.
Yeah.
And then the voice.
Oh, the voice.
Yeah.
Now entering Boylston. No smoking, please.
Change Door- here change- for the Silver Line.
Doors will open on the right.
It's like the Twilight Zone intro.
I hear that in my sleep.
I don't know how that's legal, like, noise pollution wise. Like, how do you get away with that?
I was on TikTok the other day and I saw fucking somebody who lives somewhere along the B line in, like, one of these apartments across from the Herb Chambers, and she, like, had fucking, like, done, like, a short video of the Green Line going by, like, trying to make it, like, vibey and aesthetic with, like, a Phoebe Bridgers song in the background, and it was like, that's the Green Line. I know that motherfucker's screeching the entire way, and you have the Herb Chambers in the background of the shot. You're not making this a vibe.
I hate it when, like, in, like, VM100 and stuff, where they'd be, like, all right, go out and, like, take a video of, like, a light. And people were like, I'm gonna go out into the garden and film some squirrels. Like, bitch, you didn't even try hard to walk a block.
There's so many student films about squirrels.
Like, seriously. Like, you weren't more creative? You couldn't have walked a block in the other direction, gone, like, to Chinatown?
Chinatown.
And been like, oh, there's crime in Chinatown. And like, these Asians.
Cut that.
Okay, I'll cut that.
Anyway. Climax.
Yeah, Climax was pretty good. And the cinematography, like, the best of his films, in my opinion. Yeah. Like, visually, this is the best.
Dude, the intro dance scene, I really like. That dance scene's really cool.
It's a good intro to a movie.
And it's cool how they're all, like, actual dancers. Like, they're all, like, actual professional dancers. And they're all pretty good actors, I thought.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it gave, like... like the feeling you get when you used like non-actor actors, like real people actors, where it's like that legitimacy that just automatically comes even if they're not a great actor.
But well, I feel like they're like kind of playing themselves.
Yeah, and I feel like that's what's going on here. But and it works in Gaspar Noé's favor.
There's some bonkers long takes in this movie, like crazy. I don't know how we did it, long takes.
And like shit where the lighting is off the wall and like changes so many times in the same shot. It's like, what is the rig they've got to use on this?
Insane.
Like, holy shit.
Because there would be ones where like it would like flip and then he'd be tracking somebody down a hall and then it would turn into an aerial shot.
Yeah.
And it's like, but all in one take. And it's like, I don't know, like, how that must have been insane.
Yeah. And like when the Steadicam goes upside down.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't put a Steadicam upside down. How does that work?
And it was, I mean, I guess, I bet he put most of his money into just lighting and like rig equipment, because like it's literally like fucking 16 people in one building the entire movie.
Yeah. And it's done, it's like 12 Angry Men, but like really fucked up.
But really horny.
And like killing babies. And like that was a
fucked up part. That part was messed up.
That was a bad part. That was really fucked up.
But it was a gripping plot development. Definitely. But it was like, oh my god, Jesus Christ.
Like, are we going here? Oh yeah, we're going here. But I mean, he did a good job about it. I mean, I feel like if he did what he's going for, he's just like fucking sticking the knife in your heart.
I mean, I love ensemble cast in movies. Like, that's one of my favorite things. And I really liked like the interweaving of all the different stories and everything, because there were so many people, but they were all had like...
They were like, very distinct.
They were all distinct because of their costumes. I'd say the costume design was great. But like just general like meandering through this crowd and like following each of these like threads was really fun, even though all of the threads were fucking horrible and so scary.
Yeah. I also like the whodunit aspect.
Yeah. She doesn't like a mystery.
It was great.
This is why I like writing mysteries, because it's like mysteries are so enjoyable to watch. Why wouldn't you want to write one? Like, it's just like, oh, fun.
Who's going to be the guy?
Yeah. Huh? It's easy because it's like you just fucking like everybody wants to know the answer.
Yeah. It's very satisfying at the end.
Yeah.
And this was very satisfying too.
Yeah, the ending of this was pretty good.
Yeah. When she was like doing acid in her eye.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Really? That's how you're gonna end this movie?
And after like a crazy trip night and being like, yeah, I'm just gonna fucking drop some more.
Yeah, not a healthy portrayal.
Imagine
of
being addicted to just like full LSD.
That'd be rough. That'd be scary.
It's crazy.
That physically, that would be unbearable.
I don't know how you'd get anything done. I feel like being a dancer would be the only profession you could do.
Yeah, that's a good point. Or like living on a commune.
Yeah.
But even then, like, that is not a healthy or responsible, like, after a while, like, it's gonna punish you. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's what people say on Reddit.
That has to be, like, also, like, fucking terrible for your brain.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it should be firing like that. You've got to remember your zip code, and then you can do all the other stuff. But you got to remember your zip code. You can't go too far away. Like, once you forget your zip code,
Are you talking about zip code metaphorically?
Like, once you go too far, like... like, once you're doing it every day, like, that's going too far.
Yeah, that is going too far.
Like, you're forgetting your zip code. Like, she's just like, I'm just gonna dance and fucking dose people with acid.
Yeah, like, that's going way too far. Imagine you're just like, you're so fucked up that you're like, everybody should be doing this. I'm going to make everybody do this.
That was like a real thing in like the 60s where there was like the Brotherhood of Eternal Love.
What?
And it was like they dropped acid out of a plane on this beach with like a bunch of families on it. And like it was a bad, bad thing that happened.
The families didn't have to do the acid.
But they did acid.
Why?
It was like they sprayed it from the plane.
They just sprayed acid on.
Yeah, like liquid acid, like all over this place.
Wait, I need to look this up.
And also, I think
Brotherhood.
I think
what?
The CIA, the Brotherhood of Eternal Love. I also the CIA. I'm pretty sure dropped a bunch of acid on this Cuban town.
Dude, I got the capture again from my Google.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. It says our systems have detected unusual traffic from your computer.
Maybe you should like get a new IP address.
How do I do that?
I don't know. But the CIA definitely did that to, like, a Cuban or, like, Puerto Rican town where they just dropped, like, acid on everybody.
Yeah, because they were testing acid, yeah. Like, crazy.
Yeah. And that's where Ted Kaczynski came from.
Yeah. And then eventually they were just like, nope.
No, they were like, we're going to make this illegal because we hate black people.
We're on drugs. Let's go.
Hey, Nixon. Am I right?
And yeah. Nixon, Reagan. Suck my dick.
Nixon, Bush. Suck my cock. drugs.
Do drugs.
Responsibly. Don't do acid every day. Like, don't become one of those people.
No, do not be one of those guys.
Like, you gotta.
People won't like you if you start doing that.
You gotta become your real life, like, you've gotta take care of your real life shit.
Do everything in moderation. That is the official, official suggestion from Graham and I on this day. You can do drugs if you think that you are up to doing it mentally. And if not, don't do it. And if you do, just do it in moderation.
Yeah. Don't just take it easy, okay?
Yeah.
Take it, but take it easy.
Settle down. Just like be nice to yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Have self-respect.
Yeah.
And integration. That's what they always say, is you have to integrate. And you have to take time between when you do drugs like that.
Use it like as like a treat.
Yeah. Make sure you get all your this world shit done before you go on to other worlds.
Yes, you got a point. You're gonna have more work to do in those other worlds.
Exactly. The work won't disappear. Anywho, I think Gaspar Noé captures that in Climax.
Yeah.
Because those people have got a lot of shit to do.
But like also...
And acid does not fix their problems.
No, it does not. It makes it worse. So and more incest.
Yeah. And more child death. And... Like rape. Was there rape in this movie?
I think there was.
Was there the inside the pussy shot? I can't specifically remember if it was in this movie, but there was a lot of fucking in this movie, especially at the end. That end scene was like fucked up.
No, but just the character like seemed. The characters all seemed very like complete.
Yeah.
And they were all, like, interesting.
It was like Clue.
Why did I look up craziest things in Climax? It's all porn. It was all porn.
Surprise, surprise.
So,
I feel like you can't tell anybody about Climax. Like, I was surprised people were, like, saying, like, when it first came out, people were like, yeah, have you seen Climax?
A lot of people watched it.
A lot of people said it was really good, and I was like, oh, I gotta watch this Climax movie. I don't know what it's about, but I'll watch it. And then it was like, it's Climax by Gaspar Noé.
Dude, what also sucks is like, I don't even know the movies that are out right now.
No movie, like, no good movies have come out this year.
All Climax just reminds me of is a time when like we were going to movies so often that I knew all movies that were coming out just based on like trailers.
You said that your sophomore year, you were going to see every single movie
came
out. Every single one?
No, I didn't see it. I did say that.
Oh, yeah.
I did not do that.
I told you, I was like, that's a big time commitment. Like, I hope you know.
It was. I was depressed.
Yeah.
And you know when you're depressed and you're like, I need to do a thing. But no, I didn't end up doing that because there was also a pandemic.
Yeah.
But like, also, the issue with that is that like, I don't fucking want to see like fucking... like the Sonic movie, like I just don't.
Yeah, no, I don't. I only want to see movies I want to see.
Yeah,
like, I don't want to fill my brain with that crap. Like that's what I've been trying to do recently, is like watch and pay attention to what I'm putting in my brain. Because a lot of times, like with Climax, and with Love and with Enter the Void. That's some fucked up shit to put in your brain.
Yeah, like, it really is.
I don't want to like continually put that shit in my brain, like going on Reddit and all that.
Yeah, I watch a ton of horror movies, but I do think that it's really important to take like mental breaks from disturbing content. Even not even that, just like fucking in the news and shit too, because yeah. like that will get to you, and it will like ultimately damage your mental emotional state. And yeah. Like you can say that you're immune to it, but you're not.
No, and the news is a good point to bring up, because it's all like 24/7. What is going to make you want to watch the longest? Mm-hmm. And it's just like the most violent, horrible aspects of humanity. And I think I said this on another podcast. I don't think that one person is able to deal with the bad news of like 7 billion people.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Because like none of the good news gets reported, but all the bad news. It's just like, and, oh, like, what's the worst shit that happened today?
Like, personally, I'm somebody who, like, internalizes that, too. And I'm just like, I need to be doing more, like, all the time. Like, I need to fix this.
Yeah, it's like...
Because, like, the people in power aren't doing it. So, like, yeah. I need to know what I can do to, like, fix it at all times. But that's a horrible burden to carry as one person.
Yeah, it's impossible. Because, like, we're all on the good guy mailing list. Like,
yeah.
We all, like, know all the fucked up shit that's going on. But it's so hard because as an individual, like, the systems, the powers that be, the good old boys up in the city council, they don't want us doing shit as individuals.
Yeah.
And so it's really disheartening, especially in, like, politics, because it's like, the best I can do is vote for Biden. Oh, man.
Dude, have you voted yet? No. I voted, and it was... this is another tangent, but... So I was voting, and on... In Vermont, there's a lot of... They, like, include a bunch of options because there's, like... It's Vermont. But there was, like, fucking, like, probably 20 candidates for president. All from different parties. And, like, all the parties had... Some of the parties had, like, crazy names I'd never heard of before. Like, there was, like Big Toad Party and, like, Grumpy Old Patriots. And there was this one... There was one called Bread and Roses, and I looked it up because I was like, ooh, that sounds cottagecore. That sounds cute. And I looked it up, and this dude is from Silver Spring, Maryland, which is actually where I'm from, like, originally. Whoa. Fun fact.
Whoa.
But he is, like, he's a politician who's, like, really spent most of his time trying to liberate Palestine.
Whoa.
But cool. That the Bread and Roses party... You should look it up at some point, because it, like, is just dedicated towards, like, pursuing a way of life for all people that emphasizes, like, equality. So, like, everybody's basic needs are met. There's no more jobs. There's no wage labor. It's just, like, people, like, working on what they're passionate for, and then the government disperses resources to everyone.
That's
it's
what I like about communism. That seems like the best aspects of communism without, like...
There's also like a big emphasis on like the natural world and like preservation and stuff too.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. Cause like also with communism, it's always like industrialize.
Like, yeah, no, this one's like us living in harmony with nature and all that. Just like working together. And it's just so nice. And it's like, what makes me so mad is that like, that's who I want to vote for.
That would be so nice.
But we don't live in a real democracy, so I have to vote for the guy who I don't want to vote for.
I really don't like our election process.
Yeah.
Hot take, guys.
Hot take. We don't live in a real democracy. We live in a fake democracy.
Yeah. I feel like if you didn't know that, now you do. And you should read some books about historical materialism.
At this point, nobody can really think that we live in a real democracy.
My mom does. I mean, I think a lot of people do.
Hillary won the election in 2016.
Yeah.
And Trump became president. That's not democracy.
No. But my mom is like, well, it's America. It's democracy. I don't know my mom. I'm going to cut that. I don't want to disparage my mom.
That's valid.
My mom hates Trump. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. I just think, like, it just sucks how, like, Bernie, what did Bernie do that ever? Like, what was so bad about Bernie?
He was, like, anti-establishment. He didn't like, they didn't like him.
What's so great about our establishment?
They just didn't like him. They were like, we don't want you giving health care to people. We don't want you cutting off our profits. Because all those lobbyists are probably like, hey, we're going to stop paying you guys, all you politicians. And so Obama gave him a call and was like, hey, you need to drop out and endorse Joe Biden because we cannot have Bernie Sanders as president.
Yeah.
And so fuck the Democratic Party and fuck politics.
Yeah, fuck the Democratic Party, honestly. Well, I hate that, like, there are a shit ton of different parties.
Yeah.
But Democrat and Republican parties have just become so bloated now that they're just, like, these, like, behemoths. And I really don't think they're... I mean, like, my mom was saying, like, it's an ebb and flow throughout history of, like parties growing and parties dissipating and stuff. But, like, I think we're at a point right now where nowhere in the near future are we going to be able to, like, successfully introduce a third party that actually makes any viable difference.
Yeah, no, definitely. Without major, major reforms in, like, the voting mm-hmm. process and, like, how we organize our government, like, there will not be a third party.
But, like, this is where I, like, part of me, and, like, I know we talked about this in the last episode, but it seems almost impossible that we would be able to, like, achieve any change without, like, some kind of revolution. Because right now, the overwhelming majority of people in power are so far removed from what at least everybody that I interact with wants.
Yeah, and like there is no way to peacefully express your dissatisfaction. Like there, you can't vote your way out. You can't do this by calling your representative. Like. There's no way for you to change the system because the system doesn't want you to change. And so you kind of have to go outside the system sometimes, I guess, hypothetically, because the system doesn't allow itself to change.
Well, and
but I don't want the people to die.
No, I also don't want people to die. I don't want
a violent revolution is the thing.
No, but I mean, the system has lost the faith of the people in it. On both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why Trump came to power initially, but then he just came conglomed onto that in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was like an outsider candidate calling out like...
But
then he did totally... that was just a ploy. That was just rhetoric.
But like, he's an outsider candidate still with
the same... But he's rich. He's a billionaire.
...fucking ties to all of the major lobbies that all of the other politicians do.
Exactly. Exactly.
If not way more, and way more intensely than anyone else.
Yeah.
People are just so dumb. Jesus Christ.
It really, I fucking hate politics. It really makes me
I hate politics, but all but, I can see is politic content all the
really
time.
True. It's really true. I think that was probably Sky.
Wait, quick pause. I'm going to check to make sure you didn't destroy anything.
Sky.
Aww. Yeah, for the listeners, I just took a break because Sky my cat likes to just knock shit all over my room.
It's a beautiful cat, though. I love this
cat.
She's
a good cat.
Aww. Oh, now she's licking her...
her butthole. As cats do.
And they need to clean themselves. They're well-oiled machines. Self-cleaning machines.
Yeah. Honestly, I really like Climax, but I feel like right now I'm just like... romanticizing it because I just associate it with a time that I was happier. That I was not happier, but a time that I could go see movies and was like more up to date on all the movies that were coming out.
And I feel like socially, just like everyone was so much like more social back then.
And
like,
what,
I just haven't interacted with that
many
people.
Do you ever get like so sad because you're like, man, I should have like really like savored and enjoyed that time, like being in like an open world when I had it.
I'm like, you get that feeling where it's like that feeling I hope I don't get when I die, when it's like, oh, I fucked up and I didn't I had the time and I wasted the time. And like, what am I going to do now? Like, how can I can't do anything now. So I totally feel that.
We're like, I mean, we're in our 20s. It's like, this is our time to be alive.
I know. So maybe we'll just be alive the rest of our lives.
Ooh, look at you.
Did I go to philosophy school?
You should make a movie about that.
Yeah. So there's your catchphrase.
That's good. I like it. Anyway, any more thoughts on Climax?
I like it. It's the best of his movies, I think. It's my favorite. It's mm-hmm. my overall favorite.
Yeah, that brings us into objective best, and we both said Climax.
Yeah.
It's the most watchable. It is the most concise.
And, visually, it's the most entertaining, I think.
I'd agree with that.
And plot-wise, because it's like Clue.
Yeah, it is kind of like Clue.
But extreme.
Objective worst, Enter the Void.
Yeah, I agree. Like, mm-hmm. Love was bad, but at least it was a little more focused and a little more... It was like... It had some credence to it. Credence Clearwater Revival to it.
You indie boy. Yeah, it's like... Enter the Void was just like, Jesus Christ. And like, it just...
Yeah, it was like a seed of the devil.
I felt this way with both Love and Enter the Void. Not Climax so much, but like, there's so many kids at fucking Emerson that are just always like, just do a bunch of fucking drugs all the time and just like... Like, if they were, they're always like, yeah, like, we're gonna make this project. Like, this is what it would look like if they actually made that project.
But it'd be way worse than this.
Yes. Oh,
it would
yeah.
be so if much they, worse than this.
If they made a project and if
this is what they're
talented.
Going for. This is what's on their mood board.
Yes, yes.
In their PowerPoint, like, before the shoot, they're like, all right, guys, introduce yourselves. This is what we're going for. And it's just Enter the Void.
Yeah,
like,
you're what? Absolutely right.
What? Yeah, and I feel like they'd get money for it, too.
Yeah, they definitely would.
Because they'd be convincing, because they're the film bros. They're like,
and they're
hey,
white men.
Hey, give me money.
White men can do anything they want.
They go to the gym.
I'm still afraid to go to a gym. I don't know how people are going to gyms already.
I've been to the gym a couple times.
You have?
But nobody's there. I always make sure to go when nobody else is there. And it's like, because you do it on Facebook. And so you can see exactly when nobody's going to be there.
I kind of like that.
But on the freeway, like upstairs on the fourth floor, it's like it's always booked by like everybody. And so I don't even know. I don't even try.
I used to take yoga and so classes.
I just do the machines.
Machines.
And the bike. I love the bike. Because I rode my bike so much this summer.
I love
so
that.
I listen to my music. I listen to Donovan and I ride my bike. And I listen to My Sharona.
I just do yoga and run. It's been nice running around here. This weather's so nice for going on
yeah.
runs.
Was it yesterday where it was like 70 out?
It was gorgeous out. I was so busy yesterday.
Oh,
I was
so
mad.
Nice. I had like a gap. Like I had class from like at 10 and then at 6.
Mm-hmm.
And like the whole, like I spent from like 3 to 6 just sitting out in the common. Just like reading
That's
and
so
listening
nice.
To music. And it was so nice. I love being outside. And I made sure it was like, this is the last time I'm probably going to be able to do this. And so I wore my sandals and I went barefoot and I just sat barefoot in the common.
That's so cute.
Corey made fun of me for it. He was like, that's disgusting. I was like, fuck you.
I love that. You're like a forest sprite.
It was great. It was great.
Yeah, yesterday was gorgeous. Today was fucking disgusting.
But I do like, because my room is like up super high and I see all the tall buildings. And
oh, it's all foggy.
I like to see the fog cover out the tall buildings in the rain.
I remember that from when I lived in Piro. That was nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, I hate that I wasted the best view that I will ever get in my entire life.
Yeah, that's
why
I kind of
want to live in college.
I kind of want to live on campus my last year because hopefully, I mean, this is all hypothetical. Hopefully I get into LA and I go to LA
yeah.
in the fall because
I'm sure
that's
it'll get
less
in.
Competitive.
I know a lot of idiots that have gotten in.
Okay, that's good. That's a relief.
Yeah.
Also, I want to go, I want to live on campus because I like, it's like my last semester in Boston. Like,
yeah.
Like, I want to be downtown in the action. Like, I want to have the view and like, do
fuck
the
it.
Thing.
Fucking do the thing.
Because like, I've got my whole entire life to do this and like live on my own and like have to cook for myself. And like, how the fuck am I ever going to pay rent if I'm going to school too? That's my thing. Like, I don't want to work a full-time job. And fucking go to school because that's a lot of money and I'd have to make that money.
Well, I'm just using 529 money for rent instead of student housing.
Oh, damn.
It's cheaper.
So it's like loans?
On campus. No, like college fund money.
Oh.
Because like, I don't know how it works. Like the college fund people are like, you can use it if you're like living off campus in college.
That's not, wait. And so you get free rent?
Not free rent. Oh. It's like money that like my parents saved.
Oh, Oh, okay.
Like, it's still our money.
Is it from the government or is your parents?
No, from my parents.
Oh!
But it was money okay.
That
makes
a lot of sense.
From, like, my college fund.
It's like
that
in an account.
Yeah,
that, was, like,
that they would have been spending on student housing.
Okay.
But, like...
That's good. That's nice.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was, like...
But then
the
when I graduate, who fucking knows? Who fucking knows?
Where are you going after you...
I don't know.
Like, what city? What is going on?
I don't
know. I either want to live in a... Like, I my backup plan is just to live out in the middle of nowhere. Just, like, off the grid. Like, I'm out of here. Like,
same.
I don't want to live in, like, a town.
But we're
going
to have to live in L.A.
But that kind of makes me want to die.
Me too.
Like, as a city, and the people there, like, and, like, telling my family, like... I'm going to go live in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want them to be like, what?
Well, okay, other cities, there's New York City. I do not want to live in New York City.
Yeah.
Toronto.
That's in Canada.
Yeah.
And it's cold.
And Chicago. I'm not living in Chicago.
I'm not living in Chicago. That's the Midwest. Like, in my opinion, if I'm going to live in the Midwest.
Austin, Texas.
Joe Rogan. we can
this
visit
is
our
we
buddy.
Kill him. We gotta cut that out. That's a threat.
No, we can leave that in. Fuck it. We'll leave it in. We'll do it live. Austin for the barbecue. Like, I debated, where should I apply to schools? Like, well, the barbecue in Austin is pretty good.
I mean, I'm definitely not gonna live in Florida.
Maybe as an old man, but I love the beach. I'd live on the beach.
Yeah, but there's so many fucking idiots in Florida.
I'd put up with it for the beach.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always liked the idea of living in Arizona because I've always lived in cold places.
Yeah, I would love the heat, the dry heat.
I would love it so much.
I think we said it in the first episode. I want to live in, like, if I was to live in Arizona, I'd want to live in, like, Zion National Forest, National Park. And, like, live in, like a van or something.
That'd be sick.
And, like, oh, Sky.
She's sniffing.
But I wouldn't want to live in, like, Tucson or, like, a suburb or something like that. Because that's, like... Those pictures are like
no,
the
absolutely
prototypical.
No, I'd want to like build like a tiny home in like the middle of the desert.
Build a cabin.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
My dad watches this series on YouTube where it's just this man who's like super rich who's just building a cabin from scratch.
Awesome.
And it's just like out in the middle of nowhere, and he's just like all hand tools, all this and this, and it's like every week. And he's also watching one where they build a boat in Massachusetts,
ooh,
in like Central Mass. There's this guy who's building a boat. Out of they call it acorn because it's an acorn tree.
Oh, what?
To Arabellum because that's the name of the boat.
I actually revised my previous statement. If Trump gets reelected for a second term, I want to leave the country.
What if we could go to Europe? That would be nice.
Kind of. I'm not opposed to moving to Italy.
I think Italy, I've never been to Italy, but it seems like the most beautiful country. From, like, Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm basing this solely off of Call Me By Your Name.
When
and
I saw
Tuscan
that.
Sun.
When I saw Call Me By Your Name, I told my mom, like, man, I really want to move to Italy.
Just ride bikes around, eat fruit, bruschetta.
Like, Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And, like, ride bikes around there. Like,
I fuck with that.
Amsterdam is cool.
New Zealand's cool.
Ooh, in the forest there.
Yeah.
The hobbits. Their accent. They've got zero COVID.
I like the idea of Iceland, but that's another
cold
place.
Cold.
I really want to move somewhere warm for like eventually I'd like to end up somewhere with seasons, but I want to move somewhere very warm for a while.
Yeah, I totally agree. I appreciate seasons. I like it when the leaves change. Like snow, don't get me wrong. It looks beautiful. Like
I can always go back for holidays.
Yeah, exactly.
And I really don't like the cold.
I don't either. It makes me like very stressed and tense and just like
yeah, it makes
in
your
my
muscles
body.
Tense.
Yeah,
it's
and
like
I
it's
hate
not
that.
Good for your body, and it I get crazy seasonal depression too.
Yeah,
especially like in Boston, it's so rainy in the spring.
Yeah,
it's fucked.
I don't like it.
Boston has such a sharp cold too.
Yeah, and it's so windy here.
It's so windy.
It's always windy. What the fuck?
Stop it, Boston.
Hey, fuck you. It's a port city. Hey, fuck you.
Fuck you, city of Boston.
But I like Boston. Like, I'm so glad I'm going to college here. Like, this is such a cool
Boston's
place to be.
Cool. I don't think I'd ever live in Boston past college.
Yeah, I tried to tell my mom that, and she's like, oh, are you gonna live there? And I was like, no, not really.
There's also, like, really no... like film industry here.
Yeah, there's really not. I worked on this one, a shoot for BU, And the DP was like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna stay in Boston. Like, I know almost everyone in the film industry here, and so I think I've got,
like, yeah, because it's like 30 people.
I know, and I'm like, oh boy, like, I don't want to stay in Boston. Like, sorry.
No. I think we'll probably have to put our time in LA.
I'm not opposed. Honestly,
I'm not opposed, like, but I don't want to live there in the long term.
No, definitely. I don't want to become an LA person either. Like, I don't want
to. I don't think either of us are built that way. Yeah. I don't think we have it in us.
I hope not. Honestly, I like the beach. I like the sunshine.
But we can if we're both living there at the same time, we can roller skate on like the big beach paths.
Stella, I want to buy rollerblades for Boston, and like I rollerblade all around in my town in Minnesota. Like,
get it so we can skate the Esplanade.
My mom was the fastest rollerblader in Lake City. She tells me that all the time.
If you get them, we can go on the Esplanade while it's still nice and at least not warm, but like before it gets snowy.
Yeah, I definitely want to. And I'll buy it with my CARES money. I'll treat myself. How about
treat
that?
Myself.
I better look up a good rollerblade shop in Boston. Because yes. Honestly, I've been telling Corey about it. I've been wanting to pull the trigger.
You gotta.
It'd be kind of fun.
Ever since, like, you fucking bitch.
I didn't put that on my, I'll have to submit that receipt.
Like, are these rollerblades a necessary expense? Yes.
And, like, I feel bad because, like, I want to put a lot of it in savings. I want to put all of it in savings for, like, rent in the future.
I think you can get rollerblades for, like, fucking 90 bucks, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
If
you
get
secondhand ones, you can get them.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Okay, anywho, Gaspar Noé is a really fucked up film director,
guys. So what do you think he's trying to tell us?
I think he's just trying to, like, be like, oh, I'm just trying to fuck up the audience. Like,
I think you're absolutely right. I literally
let me mess with your mind, man. Look at my trauma.
I think he's trying to say that pain exists in the world.
And here it is. And look at mine.
Yeah.
Just like, look at how
we live in
up.
A society.
Yeah.
And everything sucks.
And want to do some drugs, man? Want to do ayahuasca?
Yeah, literally, just like fucking. And like, drugs are the only way to unlock your true pain.
Yeah, man. And like, just like wanting to film sex, I feel like it's just.
Yeah, he's like, he has quite a sex obsession.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like if you're like that obsessed with like revealing the truth behind sex. I feel like his sex scenes aren't that like interesting.
I mean, they're sex scenes. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but it's not like if he's so obsessed with it, like
maybe like who's that Nazi who did Melancholia? Lars von Trier.
Yeah, like, those sex scenes I feel like are like
that's fucked up.
Yeah, it's
that's
fucked like, up, and it's not about the sex. It's about like revealing something more about the characters and stuff. Yeah. Whereas like with fucking Gaspar Noé, it's about the sex.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I'm gonna show you some sex on the screen in 3D.
Yeah.
Like, I think on the Wikipedia page, also, that's what it said.
Yeah,
like,
fucking
in 3D.
Was in 3D.
Imagine seeing that inside the vagina shot in 3D. Like, that's gotta be such an awful experience.
Because it was like, it was to completion.
Oh yeah, no, it showed the moment. It showed the big moment.
So, like, it's like splash warning for the audience.
They've got to wear, like, the plastic sheets, like, the people who go under
splash
Niagara. When they go under Niagara.
Oh, my God, I hate that.
Or it's like in SeaWorld, it's like, they've got the plastic.
That's so foul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so, like in Spy Kids 4D. But it's just like they just spray you with Gaspar Noé's cum.
I watched Spy Kids at one point, but I have no recollection of it.
The first one or the fourth one? All of them?
I don't know. Probably the first one.
I watched all of them.
Side note, I just as you said that, I remembered that in Love, there's a character named Gaspar and a character named Noé. And the character named Noé is played by Gaspar Noé. The main character names his son Gaspar.
That makes me want to die. Like, can you be any more unoriginal when coming up with character names?
And, like, shut the fuck up.
Like, it's bad enough that you're putting in lines that, like, oh, I'm a film director wanting to do this with this movie. And it's like, oh, he's talking about the movie I'm watching right now. Like, that's bad enough. to make that character your name, pretty much.
Yeah.
You're pretty much doing that. Fuck you.
Fuck you. That made me very mad.
Yeah, that's when I really, my opinion switched on this movie. I was like, because like for the first, like, I don't know, I went into it with an open mind. I was like, okay, like, it's love. Like, we'll see what he has to like say about it. Like, okay, I get it. But then once he, like, once that started coming into it and his like surrogate self, that was really the breaking the camel's back for me.
But it's like, maybe, like, I feel like, again, like, back to Charlie Kaufman, he inserts himself into his movies, but he does it in a way that, like, is relatable and, like more sincere and sympathetic. But everything Gaspar Noé does is so polished and, like, objective that it doesn't seem like it's applicable to anybody else.
Yeah, I feel like the things that Charlie Kaufman shares about himself is a much more complete view of humanity.
Yes,
and just like
that's a good way
the
to
foibles
it.
That's an awful word to use because yeah. It's so much deeper than that, but with Gaspar Noé it's like, here's what's fucked up about me.
Yeah,
like, hey guys, like, this is me and this is what I'm trying to do.
It's almost like
very ego, just like a lot of ego in it.
Performative honesty, I mm-hmm. feel like, where it's like, it's like, no, I'm being raw, I'm being honest, this is who I am. But it's like, this is, no, it's who you perceive yourself as, and you're projecting that.
That's a good description.
Rather than, like, actually who you are and, like, what you're trying to express about yourself.
Yeah, yeah. It's your mask of yourself
yes.
that you
Ooh.
Put on.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. We're coming up with lots of philosophical terms today.
Good.
We need to put these on some inspirational posters.
Yeah. With, like, the airplane in the background and, like, the yeah. green grass. Yes.
Have, like, a woman in a grain field. Like, a wheat field.
Grain field. I love that.
In Minnesota, we have grain fields.
Dude, I've seen those. Those were crazy.
Wait, what is it? Like a wheat field?
Yeah, like a wheat field.
Oh, yeah. We got tons of those. Yeah. We got corn fields, mostly.
Yeah, I mean, we got cornfields in Vermont, but not really grain fields.
Got a lot of cornfields. A tip about cornfields that my dad always taught me, if you walk far enough, you'll always hit a road.
Okay. Yes.
So if you're ever lost, just keep walking. You'll always find a road.
Yeah. Have
so
you ever been lost in a cornfield?
That's life advice. Maybe if like you walk off and like you're looking for arrowheads. Or like you're in a corn maze and you get lost off track.
There you go.
Just keep walking, you'll always find a road.
We have a bunch of hemp fields in Vermont. That's the big thing right
well,
now.
Well, you're a bunch of stoners in Vermont, okay?
The hemp industry is huge right now.
I'm good. I'm glad for it because hemp, like before the 1920s, was like used in everything. Like Henry Ford yeah. made the Model T out of hemp.
The hemp Model T.
Model H for hemp.
Dude, what's your opinion on CBD?
I did a lot this summer.
You did?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Like, I did a lot before bed and, like, in the morning.
Just gives me cotton mouth and nothing else. Oh, none of the good parts.
It's awful. It does not give me cotton mouth at all. No, it makes me kind of, like, the placebo is, like, it makes me relax. Like, I'm not sure if it really does.
Yeah, placebo's still
so,
a thing.
It kind of does. It sends me to sleep. I always make sure, because, like, you're only supposed to take, like 3 or 4 drops or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I always take like a full syringe at night and just go like, and it sends me right to bed.
You just enter like the hell zone.
No, it just, it's
CBD overdosing.
This is black. I did Google that the first time I did though, cause I did that on accident. And I was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh no. Because I'd already smoked a lot that night. And so I was like, I better put the icing on the cake tonight. And then I Googled, I was like,
am I going to
like,
die?
Oh, CBD overdose? It was like the THC paranoia in me. And it was like, may cause like laxidation or something like that. And I was like, what's laxidation? And I Googled it and it was just like a synonym for being tired. I was like, why don't they just say being tired?
Have you ever Googled, am I overdosing on weed before?
No.
I don't think I Googled that, but I've definitely Googled how do I become less high quick.
Oh, no. That's a scary, scary one.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I did when I was on LSD for the first time. I was, like, Googling the symptoms. I was like, like, things melting and things going weird in the room.
This is not normal.
Yeah, and it was like, Google's not coming up with anything.
Yeah, like, the thing is, because, like, THC overdose doesn't, like, really exist
yeah.
unless you're taking
neither
too many
acid.
Edibles.
Like, nobody's ever overdosed on acid.
Really?
Yeah. It's like the LD50 is, like, you would, like, pass out before you could ever take that much.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, people have done, like, people like hippies in the 60s, like, really freaky people, like, in the woods. Those people, the initiation they did was they would do, because, like, normally acid is a liquid that's dripped onto, like, a blotter paper.
Yeah.
But before the liquid, it's a powder that then gets dissolved. And so they take the powder and they take their thumb and they do their thumb in the container of the powder and they get a thumbprint of all the powder on their thumb. And they do it on their tongue, and they do a thumbprint of acid.
Jesus Christ.
And they say, like, only, like, never, ever do this. Like, this is a really bad thing to do.
Like, I feel like that ruins your brain.
It's gotta. And it was, like, he didn't die, but it was, like, out for, like, 3 days. And the family had to take care of him.
Yeah, that ruined him.
Yeah, that's probably really bad, but he didn't die. He's still alive.
What would possess you to do such a thing?
That's freaky. Like, that's the shit you read about, and you're like, oh, that's freaky.
Okay, this is gonna be off podcast quick. Yeah. Have you ever done salvia?
No, that's freaky.
It looks so awful.
That's one
Why
that,
would
like,
anyone do that?
That's the one where it's like, you only get bad trips.
Yeah.
Like, wanted me to do salvia really bad. Like,
of course he did.
Every time we hung out, he was like, hey, do you want to do salvia? I was like, no, I really don't.
Because you watch people do salvia, and it looks like they're fucking dying.
The videos are really good, though. Like,
they're
I like
really
the
funny.
Video. Okay, back on podcast. If I were to make a Gasparino film, that's what would be in it.
Yeah.
Back
to the podcast. We had to cut a little bit because we...
Illicit items.
Just don't do salvia.
Yeah. End of the day, don't do salvia. Be responsible about your drug use. Take half the dose, half the normal dose the first time.
This is just a Still and Graham, like, PSA hour. Like, a very special episode of, like, the Anything But Spielman podcast.
Test your substances.
Yeah.
Like, Corey wanted us to do ecstasy. And I was like, no.
That's such a sexy drug for you guys to be doing together.
Well, actually, because like, of the vasoconstriction and, like, it's like a stimulant, and so you get all, like, you can't get an erection.
Really?
And so you can't have sex on ecstasy.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I thought it made you, like, really want to fuck.
Apparently. I don't know. So, but I was like, well, Corey, according to all these websites... A lot of times ecstasy is cut with meth, and there's no way to test if it's not, and there's no way to be sure if it's 100% MDMA, which it probably definitely is not, and so that's why I don't think we should do ecstasy.
You don't want to do meth.
Yeah, I was like, can we not do meth? And then he was like, he got a table, and I was like, yeah, I want to do coke off this table. I was like, Corey, Jesus, and he has ADHD too on everything. On top of it.
cute.
And he's Jewish.
Is he Jewish?
Very. His dad is Jewish.
I guess I always assumed, but I never knew for
he's
sure.
Jewish. He's Long Island Jew.
Yeah. Oh, Corey. He's such a good boy.
Love Corey.
Do
you have any... before we end the podcast, I really want to ask, do you have any kind of fucked up? Do you have any... Do you have any pornographic or any fun facts about Gasparino?
I don't have any fucked up facts, but I do have a fun fact for you.
Any pornographic facts?
Just watch any of his movies. He'll get some very pornographic facts. Or at least for most of his movies and some of the casting, I believe some of the casting in Climax, all of the casting in Love, probably some in Enter the Void, he cast them in nightclubs. So he'll just go to nightclubs and be like, I want you in my movie.
That's creepy. Imagine being at that nightclub and like dancing or whatever, just hanging out. And this guy comes up to him. He's like, I want you to be in my movie.
Yeah.
This is going to be fucked up.
You're going to have a lot of sex.
It's going to be a fucking movie. You're going to do a lot of fucking.
Yeah, the movie is just going to be fucking.
It is called Love. I have 7 pages.
Here's, if you want to read
the rest is fucking.
Yeah. Good God. Yeah. I want to read that script.
I kind of don't. I just want to leave that movie behind me.
Fucking lazy piece of shit. I'm writing like a 200-page script right now. He's writing a 7-page script and getting $3 million.
And
I'm
he's
not
the
bitter.
One getting funding. He's getting funding. I don't know how he does it.
In conclusion, somebody needs to call the horny police on Gaspar Noé right now.
He needs to just jerk off and just calm down. Release some of the tension. Just like, hey, take it easy.
What if the next movie he made is just like Little Women?
Just like the feminist,
so
like...
wholesome, like no male gaze, just about like sisterhood and like...
Or what if it's all the male gays, like all gay men? And it's just like a gay movie, and he's like, surprise!
That'd be awesome.
It'd be a great plot twist, in my opinion.
It's just like fucking... What's a good gay movie? I didn't watch Love, Simon, but like Love, Simon.
Oh, I did. Love, Simon was pretty good. Okay. Yeah, I can't think of any gay movies.
There's Call Me By Your Name, but that's problematic.
Well, it's in Italy, so it makes up for it, in my
kind
opinion.
Of.
Why is it problem? Oh, because of the age difference?
Yeah.
I feel like because it's gay, it doesn't matter.
No, that's horrible.
And it's in Italy, and so it doesn't matter as much even more.
No, but like still, like he, like Timothée Chalamet's playing like a fucking like 17-year-old, and Armie Hammer's like 30.
He is kind of creepy.
And he basically grooms him.
Yeah, but... It's fun to watch.
Also, fuck Armie Hammer. His parents named him Armie Hammer after the brand that they own, Arm and Hammer.
Wait, they own Arm and Hammer?
Yes, and they named their son Armie Hammer.
That really makes me want to kill myself and Armie Hammer in a double murder-suicide.
Yeah. I hate it so much, and it haunts me every single day of my life.
I never knew that. That's awful. I will never watch another Armie Hammer movie the same way ever again.
I literally don't know when I'm watching an Armie Hammer movie because he has the most basic white guy face in the entire world. I'm like, it's not until I look it up on IMDb after that I'm like, oh, that was Armie Hammer.
It's like a normal square face.
Yeah, it's the most boring face.
It's like in The Sims where it's like, or any character creator, like Mass Effect. Yeah, that he's the default character.
Yeah. Dude, I got the capture thing again. I'm fucked.
They're watching you.
Somebody's watching me. The FBI agent.
I'm freaked out. I'm getting paranoid, man. Yeah.
I guess, like, Armie Hammer's, like, kind of hot, but in, like, a very basic way.
Yeah. Like, in a tabloid magazine in the supermarket sort of way.
Yeah.
And it's like he's on the cover of, like, Sexiest Man Alive. It's like, okay.
Look at that.
Yeah. That's like a stock.
Why does it look like he's at an Olive Garden?
Is he on the Olive Garden set? Did he just not bother to change sets? He went there for his headshot and he was like, well, we'll use it.
But yeah, that's probably it for today, boys. I wouldn't suggest watching any of these
if
you haven't.
Yeah, honestly, if you've gotten this far and you haven't watched it, this is more than enough.
Yeah, don't do it. Yeah, maybe watch Climax if you want something fucked up.
Yeah, for a Halloween movie, then you want to get
like,
crazy
really
in the brain.
Not really spooky, just like terrifying.
It's like crazy in the brain, man.
Don't forget to follow me on Insta at stella.drewss and follow Graham at
f_instagram, G-R-A-H-A-M.
You can follow pods on our social media for more updates about our podcast and podcasts like ours. Our Instagram is pods.emerson and our Twitter is podsemerson. Bye.
Bye. That was a good one.